How to Drive, written and read by Ben Collins.
Prologue, How Not to Drive. 1998, a twisting country lane in the middle of nowhere, travelling at 80 miles an hour. The sound of 14 tons of metal colliding is almost deafening when you're right next to it. Imagine 100 heavy doors slamming in unison and you're not even close. It's loud enough to summon people from farmhouses half a mile away to search for plane wreckage, but inside the crash, you hardly hear a thing. That's because your brain is moving, and as it thumps the inside of your skull, it disrupts the electrical activity powering things like sight and hearing. My Toyota Supra cornered like it was on rails. It sat on enormous wide tyres and had a whale tail wing with enough downforce to leave a dent in the floor. At the time, I was a Formula One hopeful and one of the fastest men in Formula 3. Even Sir Jackie Stewart said so, and boy did I know it. I was so clever and knew my local roads so well that I had a braking plan for every conceivable scenario. One Fleming section in particular had a bottleneck into a single-track lane with no passing space. I calculated my velocity precisely to be able to make it all the way through it and out the other side before an approaching car filled the gap, or if there was a car coming through, I would throw the anchors to buy enough time for it to emerge. According to a recent insurance survey, there are certain types of music that make you put your foot down and generally drive like a complete moron. The Black Eyed Peas topped this deadly driving chart with Hey Mama, a banging tune, there's no doubt, but at the time I had the Beastie Boys busting decibels. I wanged the stereo up a notch and tipped into the familiar dusty right-hander towards the mouth of the funnel at full speed. Over the course of the next second, the vanishing point ran into a scene that I hadn't budgeted for. Thick mud was spread lavishly across the road. Alarm bells were ringing, but the mud was quickly replaced by a more pressing issue. A very large, slow-moving truck was lumbering through the bottleneck, too slowly to clear it at my rate of closure. Time slowed down, but the car didn't. I braked, wide tyres and downforce were powerless on the greasy mud, and my front tyres locked instantly. The trajectory involved a double whammy of hedge and a lethal side impact with the truck. Think fast. 0.25 seconds later, I released the useless brakes, hoping to recover enough steering to swing across the front of the truck and punch through the gateway into a field. Nope. The mouth-like radiator grille and the word Volvo filled the screen. Then it was that big moment. There were no more choices, only consequences. I could have been an accountant. I could have been a yoga teacher. But there I was with no more tricks up my sleeve. It was time to take the hit, and I had no airbag. I closed my eyes as the hood of the Supra exploded into the truck's bumper and deformed until it met with the Volvo's front axle, which didn't bend much. The Supra's engine and gearbox travelled 2 feet my way as the physics of displacement and momentum did their thing. Stopping a 12-ton truck, fully laden with turf, dead in its tracks, put a force of deceleration through my body in excess of 60 times the force of gravity. I did not feel well. The head-on impact and abrupt stop rearranged all sorts of things inside the Supra, including my kidneys, which ruptured and bled for several days. Pens, loose change, and a half-eaten sandwich from the previous owner all relocated themselves to the dashboard. Temperament has always been a problem for me, and although I've learned to control it, I know there are some demons lurking. The track offers me a positive outlet for unleashing that side of my personality in very controlled bursts, but there are certain things I can't combine with driving, and loud music is one of them.